to share this podcast, but I definitely want to speak out loud about my experience today. And then I'll decide whether I want to share this or not. So, I'm currently driving home from the Tampa airport, and I will now describe how it came to be. I might take long pauses because I'm trying to be real and authentic. And I also want to just say, it sounds like I'm being like really eerie, but nothing's wrong. I'm kind of just in reverence for all that I'm learning right now. So that's why I'm taking longer pauses. So, tonight I decided not to go with Adam and Stefan, who was in the recent podcast episode. They were going to a hangout birthday party fire at a really special friend's house. Really, really special woman. Lives in a log cabin. Anyway, I decided not to go. I decided to really lean into JOMO, which is Joy of Missing Out. And I was pretty clear. I checked in with my body and I just didn't want to go. I wanted to, I feel lately, just to back up a little, I feel like I've been in this very sensitive, kind of optimistic, birthing type of energy. I haven't painted. For anyone who's listening, you probably know that I'm an artist, painter. But I am doing so much realigning and reevaluating, and so I haven't painted this year yet because I really want to only paint according to my new self and not my previous self. I'll speak more to that, but not now. That's not what this is about. So anyway, I was in a kind of a birthing moment, and Adam and Stefan left, and I was really enjoying being on my own, and then my friend called me, or she sent me a WhatsApp message saying, like, I can't believe that you're not coming to this conference in Phoenix. I don't feel like saying the person's name right now, but it's with someone who's very inspiring. I would love to meet this person. So I was like, okay, well, let me just check out how much flights cost. So I check out how much flights are, and they're only $100 one way, so it's $200 round trip. And I'm like, well, gosh. And it was leaving out of Tampa Airport, which is about an hour and 8 minutes from me, Google Maps. So I'm like, okay, well, my body's feeling excited by that. In human design, I'm a sacral manifesting generator. So I basically am training myself to really look for what excites me, what lights me up, and making decisions through that authority. And I was definitely feeling very excited, and I started packing pretty lightly, but packing nonetheless, in a backpack, and deciding what I'm going to wear and what I'm going to bring, and, you know, getting my toothbrush. And I started feeling very excited. And then I think I told my sister, because I was kind of expecting her to talk me out of it. So I guess I wanted like a balancing energy just to make sure. And she didn't talk me out of it. She was like, because she's got two children now. She's got a brand new baby and like a 2-year-old. I can't remember how old. Yeah, 2.5-year-old, I guess. Anyway, so she was like, you don't have kids and you seem to want to go, so I don't really see why not. You know, everyone was, we were all on board that it's very low risk. So she's like, have you told Adam yet? So I was like, no, I know that I want to go, so he's gonna, I know he'll support me. And she's like, why don't you just call Adam? So I called Adam and I was like, I'm about to do something really, really surprising. And he's like, okay. And I said, like, really surprising. And he's like, okay. And I was like, I'm thinking that I'm going to go to Phoenix tonight. The flight leaves at 10:30, and it was like 8 o'clock, I think, at this time, or maybe 7:45 or something. So he's like, wow. And I was thinking he's gonna talk me out of it, but he knows better than that. He knows to not, like, if I want to do something, to not talk me out of it. So then I said, why don't you, I would like to be on the same page as you, so why don't you at least say what your kind of concern is. So he said, why don't you ask me a question. So I said, okay, am I doing something that's rash or that's based out of lack? Am I feeling like I'm lacking something, so I want to get that thing filled by going to meet this person? So we spoke about that, and I realized that I don't feel like I'm doing that as much as I'm feeling really enthused to kind of go on a self journey where everything that comes up, like all of the thoughts that come up, are like kind of ceremonial. Like when you do plant medicine, you trust that the plant is going to give you exactly what you need to learn. And I've been seeing my life through that lens lately, which is ceremonial, and seeing everything not as happenstance, but as what I need to see. And so I said, I'm at this really poignant, potent part of life, and it's not that I'm going there for the teacher. I think that the teacher is very cool and has amazing testimonials and everything. I think that's I don't think I'm going to regret it, but I don't think I'm going there for him. I think I'm going there to receive what I need in my next step and my next journey. So Adam and I both saw that the risk is very low. It was going to cost maybe like $500, $550 or something, all in all. Very low risk. I'm excited about it. I'm not looking in terms of lack. I'm coming up to a toll right now, so let's see what's going to have to happen. Bear with me. If I'm speaking to humans on here or not, if I decide not to post this. Hello, do you take credit card?
Unfortunately not.
Okay, so then what do we do? Do you want my...
It's not a car rental, is it?
No, I know my license plate if you want it.
No, it's too much work. Just go. I pay for it.
All right. Really? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
wow. This guy just said he's going to pay for it. Wow. That's never happened before. He said it's too much work. He's just going to cover it. Wow. That's really interesting. Okay. So... Okay, so I decide that I don't really know if I'm going to go or not, because now I don't have like the same need or drive, because I know that I'm not going to get anything fulfilled that I don't already have. But still, I think I'm gonna go. So now, like, the time is probably about 8, and my flight's at 10:25, and I haven't purchased the ticket yet, which that's gonna come in a little bit later in the story. And the airport is 1 hour and 8 minutes from me, but with parking and everything, it's probably gonna be like 1.5 hours or something. So I basically, and you want to be at the airport 1 hour before at least. So anyway, I basically had to go. So I put my bag in the car. Then my friend calls Aviva, and she's like, thinking we're just going to have a chat. And I was like, I'm in the middle of like a really, kind of big decision. Like, this is the most impulsive thing I've done in a really long time. You know, going from just like sitting in your living room enjoying life to boarding a plane in 1.5 hours, it's pretty impulsive. So, for me, at least. And I do enjoy thinking about the type of person that does do stuff like this, so I was kind of getting a kick out of being that person. So then Aviva's like, you definitely should go. So my devil's advocate kicked in, like, why go? And she's like, because you're an artist and you need inspiration and this is fun and just go do it. You're not going to regret it. So then I said, okay, let's get Esty on the phone, because she's a Capricorn. She's more grounded about things, like Adam. They're both Capricorns. And so I call Esty, and I'm about to tell her the story that my phone dies. So then I'm like, oh, okay. Clearly I'm not supposed to. I mean, it was a tough loss of my phone at that moment. But I charged my phone in my car. I turn on my car. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to just drive towards the interstate, and I'm going to wait for my phone to charge, and then I'm going to call them again. But then my phone never charged. For some reason, my phone charger just was not working today, and my phone never charged more than like 2 or 3%, and every single time I turned it on, it would die after like 1 second, so I really wasn't able to use it at all, which means I also had to get to the airport by following the symbol of the airplane, which was very nerve-wracking, but I'll get to that. So now I'm in the car, really by myself, in that ceremonial way that we were talking, that I was talking earlier about, and I'm talking out loud to myself, and I'm really facing all of the so-called fears, demons, whatever. I'm facing them. I'm not running from them. I'm facing questions like, why can't I make a decision? Who's making the decision? Can I make a decision? Is it spirit's decision to make? Is it my decision to make? Is it a tug of war between myself and the divine plan for myself? Where is the intersection there? And I'm feeling the emotions that are coming up. I'm also feeling inspired by facing these things, because I know that I'm being reborn as a new version of myself, especially after having so many upgrades to my consciousness in the end of 2021, and then I went to a really strong New Year's festival and felt so many upgrades at that festival, and withholding painting from myself. And also I've been in a very, very big clearing pattern. I've been going through things that have been notoriously or historically cluttered in my life. I've been Stefan, me and Adam have been working to clear the landscaping clutter on our property that we haven't ever faced since owning this house for almost 2 years. And I've been really feeling great about decluttering. And here I am at this place where I know I want to be someone new, but I'm still facing all of my current fears and beliefs, and I'm wanting to jumpstart it. And I think I am partially thinking that by meeting this really special person at the conference, I'm going to have a huge jump start and I'll be able to move beyond this patterning. I'll get some kind of clue, my next clue, which again is externalizing something that I don't have, as if I don't have the next clue, so that's already disempowering myself. So I'm really facing these questions very head on, and facing the fear that I might not catch this flight, and facing the fear that I might drive to Tampa, which in my previous mind has been a very far drive. It's like, oh, that's Tampa. Like, I'm not just gonna do that drive and feel great about it if it's a waste of a drive, which currently is what I'm doing. But I don't feel bad about it because of all the things that I've learned in the last few hours. Okay, so I think I'm gonna move on to... the time is such that, like, this literally is like I'm in a movie. Like, if this works out, it's gonna be like a movie. Which, that's a pretty romantic concept to think about, living one's life as if it's divinely orchestrated movie, which sometimes it does feel like that. But the question was, is that going to be today? Is that going to be now? So I didn't miss any exits without any GPS, which is a pretty big deal because you're driving at like 80 plus miles an hour looking for just an airplane symbol for many different exits. Like, it's not just one exit, it's like this exit and then that one and then that one and then that one, and you're just following this white rabbit airplane symbol and hoping that you do not make any wrong turn, because one wrong turn means I'm going to miss the flight because the time is so precise. Like, it's going to be a miracle if I get on this flight. And I'm thinking, am I going to be on this flight? Am I going to be the last person on this flight? Like, there's so many unknowns as I process this experience. There's so many unknowns. I don't even know if I'm going to find the parking, you know, the long-term parking. And once I do, I don't know if I'm going to find the terminal. And I don't even have a ticket. So once I do find that, and my phone's dead, so I can't even look online to see what terminal it is. There's so many things that are like, wow, if this works out, it's going to be just miraculous. And it's going to be meant to be, and then that will answer my question, because if you remember, I was driving towards the interstate not even knowing if I'm definitely going to be going. So now I'm like passing St. Petersburg. I'm almost in Tampa. I'm following the signs. I'm focusing very clearly because my phone's not on, so I'm focusing just very strongly. And I'm also witnessing all of my emotions as they arise, because that's the ceremonial part to my experience, is really being present for all of the arising emotions and experiences. I find long-term parking. I park my car. I remember it's in... on the second floor, lane 201. I can remember that. I find my way to, and I'm kind of like running at this point. I find my way to the elevators. I ask someone, do you know where ticketing is? He kind of points me, but he's like, they're definitely closed. So I'm like, well, no, there's a flight tonight. I don't think they're closed. I think it's Frontier. So I'm like running to Frontier. It's three women that are like totally beyond, like they're done for the night. And I'm like, hi, can I buy a ticket to Phoenix? And they're like, no, no. And so I'm like, okay, so, you know, that's not the answer I wanted to hear, but let's see. So they're like, they're closed. I can't even sell you a ticket. So then this one woman, she's like, and I'm just staying positive. I'm staying unattached, but also like, I would like to go, you know, it was actually kind of a cool place to be, being unattached. But also wanting to go, but also like, I don't need to go. It's not like one of those times where you're buying a plane ticket and it's extremely stressful because you have to make something like a funeral or a wedding or something like that, or like a job thing, I don't know. So it wasn't like that. And they were like, wait, you don't even have a ticket? And they said that earlier. I was like, no, it was really last minute. I don't have a ticket and my phone died. And she's like, well, let me see. So I'm thinking, okay, it might work. It might be that movie moment. So she's like, no, they closed the thing unless you want to risk it. So I said, what does that mean, risk it? She's like, well, you can buy the ticket and then try to get over there. It's about 10 minutes away. Like, you know, you have to take a train and then you have to run. And they're only at 40% capacity, so they're probably going to be leaving before the time on the ticket. So you're probably going to miss it, but if you want to risk it. So I'm thinking about risking, and then she's like, actually, no, we can't sell you the ticket anyway. They've closed the portal. So I'm like, okay, I guess that's my answer. So then I asked if there's anyone else open. I went to a couple other, I went to Southwest, and she had me go downstairs, and I asked the people at baggage claim in Southwest if there's a ticket, and there is one at 8 in the morning. But it is $376 for one trip instead of $100 for one way. One way, I didn't mean one trip. So now I'm facing a program that I know all too well, which a lot of us know very well, and that's scarcity. That's like, I should have bought it at $100. So now it's the comparison between the $100 and the $376 that makes the $100 suddenly extremely admirable or amicable, or I'm trying to think of the word, desirable. So now I'm suddenly kind of chastising myself for not getting the cheaper flight, and for having missed that, which wasn't fully in my control. So all of the ceremony of the thoughts that are coming up and really facing them and not allowing them to take me offline, I felt very brave during this process. It was really not easy. There was a lot of thoughts and self-loathing that came up, whether I ended up going or not going. It was self-loathing on either side, which I was taking note of course. So then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go think about it. So then I go and I sit in a place that, according to my human design, is my favorite environment, which is shores. So even being in an airport is very shores, because you're between two places, like the shores between the water and the earth, the land and the water. So I sat myself between a big glass window and kind of an attractive part of the airport where there's charging stations and PF Chang's, like food court. That's it's closed, but at least it felt kind of cozy. And I sat there and I just started doing work on my iPad, just processing, using colors and writing things. And nothing looked like great or beautiful. Like, it's not something that I would ever consider sharing, but it was definitely journaling using my iPad. And that was really fun. I don't think I've really done that yet because I haven't used my iPad as much as I thought that I would yet. And I spoke to my sister and I spoke to Esty and Adam, and eventually, after going back and forth, like, of course I could still go, but now I'm starting to feel like, now it's like midnight and I'm in an airport and I'm starting to feel like going home would just be so cozy, and going to Phoenix, like sleeping in the airport or in my car till 8 in the morning, and then ultimately spending $1,000 on this trip all in all, which I don't want to be making decisions based on numbers, so that's something that I would have wanted to speak about with this person at the conference, how to live life beyond making decisions based on numbers, which is what I have done until now. And I was about to say, I hope this isn't boring, but I don't even know if I'm going to share this, so I'm going to choose not to say that. And yeah, I'm just noticing a lot of insecurity about decision making and self-loathing about not making decisions, and also I'm starting to let in a lot of grace, like I'm very brave for going through this situation so open-heartedly, and even facing my sister and my friends and you know, their projections onto the story. Like, my sister was very, she said such a funny thing. She's like, you didn't buy a ticket, and then you went to the gate 45 minutes before the flight thinking you were going to get a ticket. And I was like, yes. And she said, are you Amish? Like, you won't use the internet? I think she said, like, so you didn't buy the ticket on the internet. Anyway, she's really funny, and she's got a very dry sense of humor. And I really enjoyed that humor, but also I was facing my old programming that's like, even though she's my younger sister, she's younger than me by 2.5 years. So even though she's younger, there's always this kind of feeling like she's more mature and I'm kind of off the handles, or I don't know, I'm a risk taker, I'm not so logical about my decisions, I'm kind of impulsive, maybe. So all of these things are coming up in my own mind, which means they're my projections, and they're ready to be faced and seen. And that's part of the whole thing, is I'm wanting to be new, but I cannot be new before facing fully, soberly, and open-eyed. Not that sobriety is the most important part, but conceptually speaking, sober is important. And open-eyed and open-hearted, and not get mad at her for asking if I'm Amish, and not get mad that she's, you know, she's being kind of blunt about the choices that I made. She's saying how, like, clearly I didn't really want to go because I didn't set myself up for success and that kind of thing. So in the past I might have gotten shut down, but I didn't shut down. I faced all that came up. I think that's like the whole story of this episode, is consistently facing what came up, and realizing that I'm brave in that was really helpful. And then I called Adam, and I started feeling like I kind of just do want to come home. I don't really want to go on a trip right now. I do want to be a new person, but I don't necessarily want to go on a trip right now. I'm not like fiending for a trip. And I'm not currently in a place where my scarcity programming is so free that I can go on a one-day trip and spend $1,000 and feel amazing about that. I'm just not at that stage, and I would like to be at that stage, but I'm not currently there yet. And I guess that just leads me to a little bit of a tangent that one of the things I've learned from this person at the conference by just consuming his material is committing what committing to your highest self really does in your life. So I've been facing like, will I experience scarcity when I truly know that I am the greatest artist of all time? And he made a great point. Like, if you say I'm the greatest mother of all time, or I want to be, or I am, or no, I don't think it's I want to be, I think it's I am, you're not competing with the other mothers. You're just competing with yourself. And I don't really know if I'm fully into the competing word. It's not like that's my main word. I'm just not really sure. And also, it's 1:30, so I'm probably not finding all the words. And I'm driving, so I'm paying attention to signs and that kind of thing. But yeah, so I've been thinking lately, like, if I am the best artist of all time inside myself, like in my core, if I know that without having to falter on that in every single moment. Like, am I though? Am I though? If I really know that, then would I be experiencing scarcity? I don't think so. But that doesn't mean I can just be there before I'm actually there. Which made me think that going to this conference would, speed up that process. But Adam made a really good point that, do I need to prove to the world that my will is strong enough that I'm going to, hunker down in an airport overnight and spend $1,000 and all these things just to prove that my will is there? Like, I don't think I'm at that stage either, where that's something that I get off on or feel really proud of and, like, wear that flag or, like, hold that flag. I did just watch the movie 14 Peaks, and his will just blew me out of the, just blew my mind. It blew me away, blew me out of the water, blew him out of the water. It blew everything that I've ever known about will out of the water. That movie, if you haven't seen it, is amazing and inspiring. Now, does that mean that I am going to make myself into the person that has the kind of willpower that this person has? No, that's just not where I'm at right now. Not right now. So, Adam was extremely supportive of either decision I made. He kept texting me saying, I totally support you, and I think you're very brave, and that kind of thing. So that was really, I had really strong support in my kind of core, and I was able to relate that to spirit, that spirit, and God, universal love energy fully supports me no matter what. That either way, either choice I make, whether to go or not go, I am loved and I'm going to get the nectar of life no matter which one I pick. It's not like I'm going to lose. One of my journal entries on my iPad was, is it a win-win or a lose-lose? Like, they're both true. I'm either going to win-win or I'm going to lose-lose depending on how I decide to think about it. So I chose a win-win. I chose to go back to my car. That just felt like the most coziest and comforting option. I suddenly felt very grateful that I have a warm house to return to because not everybody does. In fact, a lot of people do not. I started wondering to myself, also to Adam, we were still on the phone at this time. At what point do I start just being so incredibly grateful with what I have and not just concerned with what I don't have and where I'm not at yet? And like, I have a car and it's got heating and I've got a warm winter coat, and also I'm in Florida, so it's not actually that cold. It just kind of feels cold because it happens to be a little bit of a cold spell, but it's probably like 70. No, it's probably like 60 something. All these things, I'm so, so, so lucky. And I've got this incredibly supporting, attractive, loving partner, husband. And I've got really amazing friends. And I've got amazing teachers that I am so lit up by. And I went to this great yoga class today, and I can go again whenever I want to. I really sweat deeply at that. I've got really, really exciting, excellent experiences in my life. Exciting, excellent experiences all start with EXC? Exciting, excellent. Yeah, almost all have EXC. Yeah, and then we were talking a little bit about Thich Nhat Hanh, who just transitioned, depending on whether I release this and whether I, when I release it or when you're listening. Thich Nhat Hanh just transitioned just yesterday. I mean, right now it's 1:30 in the morning, so it's technically yesterday, but it feels like the same day because I haven't slept. So I've been really tuning into him today, as many people have. And one of his big teachings is that drinking this tea, I'm happy. It's enough. Just having this one experience of tea and considering all that went into the tea and the water and the clouds and and nature and interdependency between all things, and seeing the clouds in the tea, because without the water from the clouds there would not be any water, and wouldn't be able to water the tea bush and all that. And I think about Byron Katie, another amazing teacher, who says, like, you have hair on your head, like, wow, that's amazing. And if that's not enough, you've got hands. And then I started thinking, like, I'm not in a car accident right now. Like, I'm driving my car and I'm not currently in a car accident, and that's amazing. What a celebration. Wow. And truly, I'm not even just logicizing, or this isn't coming from my mind. I'm suddenly open to this experience, which I wasn't before this whole birthing ceremonial pass through that have been the last few hours. So yeah, I feel really inspired to continue passing through my emotions, facing them, and not running from them. I saw this meme today that said that the point is to feel the void and not try to fill it. Not just try to fill it, but to really sit with the void space. Right now I'm feeling like the void space is just the unknown stuff of, am I doing it right? Am I evolving fast enough? Am I evolving well? How can I do it better? All these questions, I've just had so many questions populating as I've been facing this moment in my life very head on, without numbing it out or medicating. So I feel that this is a good place to wrap up. I have a lot of other things that I would love to talk about, but I feel like this is pretty complete right now. So, yeah. I'm going to go to sleep soon. I just turned off the exit and I'm looking forward to continuing this experience of facing my emotions and facing my projections onto others, taking responsibility for all of it, and passing through. I guess I'll leave with this example, which is that I keep seeing like a snake in like an art artistically, I keep feeling like I want to paint a snake, and I drew a snake on my friend with henna, and then I did it on myself, and I did it in my journal on my iPad, and I did it, and I spoke about it with Stefan today. And the snake, for me, the snake represents death and rebirth and moving through something. So the example is that a snake will find two rocks or multiple rocks to nook its head into and actually create friction to start the process of the molting process. And that does not sound very comfortable. But the snake is decided in the fact that it's time for molting and it's time to release the skin. And then it pulls itself through those rocks that started that initial opening and pulls itself through so that the skin is able to all the way come off. And I find this to be really inspiring. Oh, I also saw a snake when we were doing yard work inside of a palm frond that Stefan was about to bend in half to put in the trash. And I saw it in there. I was like, "Stop, stop, stop! There's a snake in there. It was still alive." So yeah, I feel like I'm in this place where I'm very soberly and choicedly. I don't know if that's a word. Choosing to pull myself through my previous life experiences that I'm ready to move through and out of. And as Adam and I often say, the only way out is through. So leaving you with that. And yeah, I always love chatting. So if you want to reach out to me. I would love that. Okay. Have a beautiful day or night, and I'm sending you a lot of bravery and a lot of clarity and clarity about your will and bravery to ask questions that need to be asked and that want to be asked and to move yourself through to your next phase, if that is something that's calling to you, or experiencing just the incredible gratitude that is available at this current stage right now. So, signing off. So much love.